From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We may be closing out the year, but politics, they're picking up at the state capitol. New state lawmakers were sworn into office this week, and Democrats in the legislature also kicked off a special session to armor California against a fast-approaching Trump presidency. But what weight does this actually carry? Of course, it comes down to the details. Dustin Gardner is co-author of Politico's California Playbook and has been tracking the latest political waves across the state. Dustin, welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Good to be back with you.
Happy to have you. Okay, so Governor Gavin Newsom, he's really rounding out his final term as governor, and his political future, as of now, is uncertain. But in this morning's playbook, you write that what would usually be considered a lame duck period for an outgoing governor, it's far from that when it comes to Governor Newsom, and that President-elect Donald Trump could actually create some political openings for Newsom. What's been unfolding since Election Day?
That's exactly right. I mean, had Kamala Harris won the presidency, I think Newsom would very much be entering the lame duck era of his governorship. But now with, you know, this role of playing resistance to Donald Trump and making California the state of resistance to potential actions from the incoming Republican president, it's rejuvenated Newsom's clout in Sacramento in a lot of ways. And this comes after he's had, you know, some pushback from the legislature more, especially in the last year, from lawmakers who felt like, you know, he wasn't allowing the legislative branch to assert its independence enough. But I think, yeah, having this contrast with Trump gives Newsom a whole new lane to set the agenda and really flex his muscle and influence in Sacramento.
Yeah, he has 2 years left, but we know that when it comes to campaigning, that can just zoom by, can fly by. Is there an opening potentially for a presidential run?
I think it's very clear at this point that the governor is really seriously looking at running for president. And if he is looking at that, it's a very short lane for him to get serious about it. And the way that he's leaned so heavily into this state of resistance with Trump 2.0, his messaging is very much speaking to a national audience and the base of the Democratic Party. And this could be a contrast with some lawmakers in the legislature who really want to focus more on domestic concerns, while you have the governor who's very much taking on this kind of national message, trying to appeal to Democrats across the country.
Okay, so when it comes to Trump 2.0, we already know that California in the past has positioned itself against a Trump presidency. Governor Newsom now has a $25 million war chest to defend the state against an incoming Trump administration yet again. What would this actually go towards?
Yeah, so in the last Trump administration, there were dozens and dozens of lawsuits that California filed challenging federal decisions on all sorts of issues related to healthcare, related to grants that the Trump administration revoked, related to vehicle emission standards. So this is creating, really, it's an all-purpose war chest for the state and the State Department of Justice, the Attorney General's office, to be prepared to engage in any sort of litigation the state thinks is necessary to defend its policies and also defend its revenue streams from the federal government. I think that's really key. We don't know exactly what sort of litigation will take shape, but this is a preemptive move with the state expecting that there are likely to be many areas where it's going to disagree with the new administration.
For people who don't walk in and out of the state capitol every day, what exactly is just a special session?
Yeah, so the governor has the authority under the state constitution to create, to call the legislature into a special session. This can be separate from their regular session, or it can run concurrent with the general session. And it really gives the governor the power to make lawmakers focus on one area that he's concerned about, one policy area. In the past, Newsom has done this over oil and gas prices. But this special session is squarely focused on resisting Donald Trump and the incoming administration. It's the governor's ability to make lawmakers keep their eye on one issue and do so with a lot more focus and at a timeline that's expedited beyond the regular session.
Has there been criticism from lawmakers when it comes to this war chest? I mean, there are pressing issues in California, arguably, that could be a priority, not to mention we're in a budget deficit.
You know, so Republicans have been very outspoken about this, and they said that the governor got too far ahead of himself announcing this before Trump has even taken office or taken any sort of formal policy actions. Democrats, you know, the majority of Democrats in the legislature and legislative leadership, they've endorsed sort of the broad principles that the governor is seeking here, and they've supported his request for the $25 million, which is really being characterized as a down payment on that legal defense fund. It could grow quite a bit. In the last Trump administration, the state ended up spending over $40 million defending itself from federal actions. But yeah, so the reaction from Democrats in the legislature, generally supportive, but there are rumblings. And I was reading the tea leaves yesterday. Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas and Senate President Pro Tem Mike McGuire, they both gave opening speeches to their members as new lawmakers were sworn in and returning lawmakers came back to the Capitol. And the tea leaves I was reading from their remarks is both of them, you know, they talked about resisting Trump, but they also focused a lot more on everyday challenges facing the state, particularly related to the cost of living and economic challenges facing Californians around housing, the housing shortage, gas prices, grocery prices. So I think they're sending a pretty clear message to their members that they want that to be the primary focus. And there's different incentives here. I mean, the governor is very likely looking at running for the presidency. His incentive with wanting to build his message around fighting Trump is totally different than legislative leaders and a lot of lawmakers who are wanting to show their constituents that they're making progress addressing those everyday affordability challenges in the state.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, we do have a political deja vu in a sense. I mean, going back to President Trump's first term, then Governor Jerry Brown and then AG Javier Becerra, they also mounted a strong legal defense against President Trump's first term. So we actually have some hindsight to see if this was actually effective or is it more political posturing?
In the past, there were areas where the state did close loopholes. You know, the state enshrined abortion rights in the state constitution. Marriage equality was just enshrined in the state constitution. So there are areas where the state has buttoned up some potential vulnerabilities to a Republican administration. Having said that, a lot of that work has been done. And so I think it could be different this time around. There's fewer of those types of loopholes for lawmakers to address. And also, I think some longtime lawmakers at the Capitol, they're looking at this and they're saying we can't just repeat the playbook from 2017. They said that, you know, the national pulse with Republicans doing so well across the country in the election, they're saying that calls for a different message and that Democrats can't simply fall back to the old playbook from the first Trump administration. They need to figure out an economic message that's going to break through that. And that's where they want the focus more to be. But, you know, at the same time, a lot of folks are saying we got to do both. We got to be a state of resistance. And Democrats also want to figure out what that new message is for the party and that new path forward.
Yeah. I also think about climate. You know, Governor Newsom has said that California is an international leader when it comes to climate goals. California is a nation state. We are one of the largest economies in the world. And we recently had California Natural Resources Secretary Wade Crowfoot on the show because he went to both COP29 and COP16 at a time when world leaders, including President Biden, took a back seat to what is considered a huge international climate summit. So does this also signal that California is trying to make its own path with an incoming Trump administration, potentially different climate policies with this new administration, and set an example for not only the country, but potentially internationally, the world?
Yeah, I think for a while we've been seeing California create its own climate policy in a way that other countries are noticing. A lot of European powers, for example, have expanded their diplomatic presence in California in part because they see California as more of a partner on climate policy than they see the federal administration. So that has been happening for several years, but this really speeds up that sort of look to California to shape climate policy in North America. There's quite a few areas between vehicle emission standards, other funding for other climate initiatives, where the feds are likely to attack California's policies under the new administration. We've already seen Trump try to repeal the state's ability to set its own stricter tailpipe standards than the rest of the country. So California is going to be in a position where it has to defend that. And then at the same time, foreign powers are going to be looking to the state for what sort of pulse that North America and states on the West Coast might be setting for climate standards.
Yeah. Dustin, I mean, it's only Tuesday, but it's been a busy 2 days, you know, at the state capitol after, of course, a holiday week. Also yesterday, new state Senate and Assembly members were sworn in, including in our area, Maggie Krell, formerly, which was Kevin McCarty's seat. Kevin McCarty has since secured enough votes to become Sacramento's next mayor. Also Christopher Cabaldon, former West Sacramento mayor as well. Overall, what stands out to you about this incoming class of state lawmakers?
The biggest thing to me really clearly is the gender parity that has been achieved. The Senate is evenly split between men and women. Overall, the legislature is about 49% female elected officials now. This is a first in California's 174-year history that any chamber of the legislature has achieved parity. And to have both chambers essentially at that 50% mark almost, that's huge. So, I mean, that was the thing that got a lot of attention. And there were some big moments on the floor of the Senate and the Assembly yesterday. The Senate President Mike McGuire talked about it, and he said, "It's about damn time," as he talked about that parity number. So that stands out to me. And then also just, you know, overall, the incoming class of lawmakers, it's a big class of new folks, and it's a lot more diverse. And it's not just more diverse in the Democratic ranks. It's the Republican caucus as well. You know, there's a lot more women, a lot more Latinas, In the Republican caucus. So overall, just a much more diverse legislature than we're used to.
While most races have been called, others are still competitive. I mean, California had several tight congressional seats. Where do those stand? I mean, I think about the 13th district race in the Central Valley of Democrat Adam Gray against incumbent Representative John Duarte.
Yeah, that is really the one everyone's on the edge of their seats watching at this point. I know we're at well past Thanksgiving and this race has still not been called. It's kind of exceptional. It's only about a 140 vote difference that has Adam Gray up over Duarte. So this thing is going to go down to the wire. Both parties have launched massive ballot curing operations in the Central Valley, in the areas around Merced in particular, trying to, you know, scrounge as many votes as they can. I know all of us are sort of refreshing our computer screens, you know, every afternoon and evening, waiting for those final votes to come in. And the big picture is Democrats of the six most competitive seats, House seats in California. If Gray pulls it out, Democrats will have won four of those six. And that's an interesting counter narrative to sort of the national inertia with Republicans doing pretty well last cycle.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Dustin Gardner from Politico's California Playbook. We only have a minute or two left, but I want to start off with a national headline, a big one this week, President Biden pardoning his son, Hunter Biden, something he previously said he wouldn't do. This has sparked a lot of controversy, even within the Democratic Party. But are California Dems actually speaking out against this?
No, not really. Governor Newsom, we tried to get his comment on this, and he has refused to comment about it. Other Democrats, like House Member Eric Swalwell, he responded with a tweet that emphasized Trump's own history of legal challenges. And so I think, yeah, Democrats, for the most part, have been sidestepping this from what we've seen and really just tried to put the focus back on Trump's own legal troubles.
Finally, Vice President Kamala Harris. What's next for the vice president?
Yeah, you know, she's really keeping her options open. There's been a lot of rumblings of will she run again for the White House in 4 years. She hasn't ruled that out. She also hasn't ruled out running for California Governor Newsom. And, you know, as we were discussing, is termed out in 2 years. That's a big, wide open office in 2026 for governor. There's already a crowded field, but early polling suggests that if Kamala Harris got in, she would be in a very commanding position, which is no surprise given she was just at the top of the ticket and has run statewide in California several times. But yeah, she's keeping that open and her aides are not ruling anything out at this point.
Never a dull moment for you, Dustin.
Absolutely not.
Thank you so much for joining us. Dustin Gardner is co-author of Politico's California Playbook. Up next, a new documentary is investigating the biggest crises of our time through an unexpected lens, math. The filmmaker behind Count It Out talks about why we need to re-engage with math and the consequences if we don't. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.